you guys bring your Bibles today? Oh, amen. Amen. I threw out a challenge last week. Said, man, please bring your Bibles with you. Anyone decide you need to be baptized yet? All right. Well, well, we're thankful. We hope those that didn't raise their hand are good. But if not, we'll be looking for you throughout the year. Again, part of our year to be obedient. Amen. We want to be obedient about what's going on in our lives, in our faith journey. So I'm still excited. And I'll be excited for 2019. I hope the whole year. Because it's a new year. I believe it's a year of harvest. It's incredible, my message and where these songs tie into the message today, talking about being free and setting us free. In today's scripture reading, and this isn't where our main focus will be. Our main focus will be in Ephesians, if you want to start thumbing your way there. But today's scripture reading is from John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36. And I want you to listen carefully as you're getting to Ephesians. But John chapter 8, 31 through 36. And it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Man, if you're in prison today, the truth will make you free. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. Anyone think, oh Lord, I've never been in bondage. How can you then say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. I'm going to read that one more time. Just in case you missed that. Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word today. We ask that you make it come alive today. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Now, just so you know, we're going to read another scripture before we get to Ephesians, but it all connects. And today, the message today is growing in God. And last week we were talking about four simple steps to get us where we need to be so that we can grow in God. Today is growing in God. And last week we talked about doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. It said the disciples continued doing this. After Jesus came and after he had ascended into heaven, they continued with these things. We talked about, you know, if we call it, oh, kind of fellowship, if we talk about people and processes. But bottom line, it's doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. These four key elements were vital to the church growth back then. And still is today. Still is vital today. But where these four areas come together, the doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer, where these four things come together at the same time, man, look out. Because the church grows. The church multiplies. The church expands its footprint in the community. We grow personally, and in our spiritual journey we grow. But as I said before, we are able to leave our footprint in the communities that we're in. Well, Adam, what is community? Define that for us. What do you mean when it says, I leave my footprint there? Well, the dictionary defines community as this. It says, a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common, or a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Man, that leaves it wide open for where our community is. The community you leave your footprint in can be your own household. It can be within your house. It can be at your work, your Sunday school class, your Bible study group, wherever your hobbies are or your activities that you spend time with other people, your youth group, your classrooms at school, your circle of friends. That's your community. And that's where you have opportunity every time you step into those communities to leave your footprint. wherever. Man, the important thing to remember is to make an effort to leave your mark in the kingdom wherever you've been. And you do this by sharing. That part of that definition said a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. You have to share this. I've known people before that said, I have this great faith, but I don't want to tell people about it because it's kind of personal. And you're mixed up about what it is. Maybe how you got to your faith. Maybe that's personal, but it says always be ready to give people your testimony for the hope that is in you. Man, what is it? What got you to that point? But once you get to that point and you understand it, man, it's all about sharing. Man, the light of the world came so that we can have light. He came so that the lost could be found. They talk about the light on a lampstand. It says, don't put it under a bushel. Don't hide that light. We're made to go out and share this experience with other people. And we have such opportunities to do that. You do this by sharing part of your community and doing that. To share your time, to share your fellowship, your common meals together. When you're eating with people, it doesn't have to be people in the church body. It can be people you work with. It can be classmates. And then when you pray with others, one of our greatest opportunities is to pray for others. When they tell you about something they're going through, that is a great opportunity to leave your footprint. Do you mind if I pray with you? Because we all know it's so easy to say, I'll be praying for you. Really, when? And how are you going to pray? But to take that moment, seize that moment, say, let me pray for you right now. That's a huge footprint you're leaving for that person. Is there anything in particular, any way you want me to pray? We have opportunity to leave our footprint in the fields that we're in. Some of those areas, you know, we're out preparing the field. We talked about this last week. We talked a couple years ago about this. And last week I talked and said, for some of us, this is going to be a year of harvest. Amen? For some, it's a year of planting. For some, it's a year of just preparing the field. And then for others, we got to come behind and plant. For some, it's time to water. But for others, it's time to harvest. But I want to read Matthew 9:35 before we get into Ephesians. And I want us to be careful of the harvest. And I want us to be conscious of what the Bible says about the harvest and what it's doing. And it says in Matthew chapter 9 verse 35 through 38. And it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Man, you'd think that'd be sign enough, wouldn't you? Every disease, every sickness among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Why? Why was he moved for compassion for them? Because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, now listen, he said this to his disciples, those 12. And he said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. 2019, we need to grow the laborers. We want a harvest, but we have to grow the laborers. And it says they're few. And part of that is our responsibility to help grow you all. And help you guys understand the need to do that. But it ends and it says, but. It says, pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. 2019, one of the things that we have to do is increase our prayer. Correct? Amen? Okay, we have to increase our prayer. Let's just bow our heads and let's pray for the laborers right now. Heavenly Father, we pray right now for laborers in this church body. Lord, we pray for laborers outside this church body that aren't even here yet, but that will come in 2019. Lord, those laborers come in the form of teachers, people that can mow, that can weed eat, that can clean, that can chaperone, that can pray, that can join the prayer team and be our prayer partners. Lord, they come in the form of givers, givers of their time and their talent. Lord, their finances, organizers, whatever form those labors take, Lord, send them in 2019. But Lord, where they are today, make them conscious that they are laborers and we need laborers in order to participate in the harvest. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We've got to take opportunity to stop and pray when it's time to stop and pray. So we're going to increase in our prayer at Prayer of Faith in 2019. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's turn there. We'll get prepared for the harvest. We'll get prepared for freedom, to be set free from sin, the things that keep us behind and keep us held back. And Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're going today. Well, actually, we're going to 2 and 4. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And I really had a much shorter scripture that I was going to read, but in looking at all this stuff, I thought, no, there's too much in here that connects. And we've got to connect the dots in 2019. And we've got to be sure that we're not shorting this. So I want to read from verse 1. And it starts right off the bat. And it says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places of Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast in themselves. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Amen? There are a lot of things in here that I want to point out. Verse 2, "For which you once walked." That's past tense. We've received Jesus Christ. We once walked there. Verse 3, it says, "We all once conducted ourselves." Past tense. We don't have to conduct ourselves in that manner anymore. And he goes on to say in verse 4, "But God." Everyone say, "But God." "But God, who is." That's present tense. Present tense, "who is rich in his mercy," says, "made us alive, raised us, made us again sit together." And it says, "You have been saved," in verse 8, "for by grace you have been saved through faith." And it says, "it is." It is. Not "it might be." It could be a gift of God. I'm not sure. No, it is the gift of God. And then verse 10, "For we are his workmanship." Church, some of us need to grab hold of that today and say, "We are." Everyone say, "We are." We are. We are. We are his workmanship. You have to know that. You have to believe that. You have to grab hold of that. And you have to own that. You are His workmanship. No matter what you're going through, know that you are His workmanship. And you once walked this way, but you don't need to walk this way anymore. You once conducted yourselves in this manner. You don't need to conduct yourselves in this manner anymore. Because God who is rich in mercy, and He made us alive. And He raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places. 2019 is not just about growing us, you know, in number of whatever. Really, it's not even growing us in number. It's growing us in labors. Whoever, if every one of you were to join in and be part of the labor pool, man, this church could do an awful lot of things. And our collective footprint in the community would be huge. It'd be huge. Some of you aren't aware of this yet. No, let me rephrase that. None of you are aware of this yet, but I'm going to put a challenge out to all our groups to do a community service in your group. The adult Sunday school, the young adult Sunday school, the teen Sunday school, whatever it is, that you do a project, a community project. Not just once this year, but we're going to put a challenge to do things a couple times this year so that we can go out and be active in our community and serve others. Christ did not come to be served, but to serve others. And we're going to live in that, and we're going to own that in 2019, a prayer of faith. Now flip over a little bit to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And as we grow in Christ, or growing in God, what I've just read, we've got to know these things. We used to be this way, but we don't have to live that way anymore. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself, again, in love. And he talks about these things that says, I'm equipping and I'm giving you guys these different gifts. And if we want to grow in God in 2019, we have to know our gifts. If you haven't done a gifts assessment, give it Pastor Eric or myself to do the gifts assessment. We did that this last year in our Wednesday night Bible study. Teens, if you haven't done a gift assessment, we'll get you one. And we want to know what your gifts are. And then God says, man, I gave you these gifts so that you can use these things together. I want to make sure we do this for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Teenagers, don't think for a second that you guys aren't important to prayer of faith or to the body of Christ in general as a whole. You guys are vital to this. I think it was Rex last week that talked about Andrew. He said, man, I remember when I came here and Andrew was this big. And look at him now as our youth pastor. A prayer of faith. Don't think for a second that you guys aren't important. We've got a couple conference ministerial candidates, Andrew and Adonijah and Jennifer, with the Free Methodists that want to become ordained, that are going through that process. We have two others that are interested in that. That's important. It's the future of prayer of faith. Or the future of the body of Christ somewhere, even if it isn't here. We're not here to be a country club. We're here to be a hospital. And a hospital means sometimes sick people come in, they get healed, and they go on somewhere else. We understand that. I'd love for people to stay here. But sometimes once they're healed, they move on to different things. This says, when you have your gifts, I've given you those gifts. When you have those, I've done it for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, to make us better, to lift us up. But it says, watch out, because I don't want you thrown about and tossed about with these other people that have entertaining ways of doing things. Deceitful plotting, cunning craftiness. But he says, but speak the truth in love. Why? So that we may grow. So that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head. That is Christ Jesus. And then at the very end there it says, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Why is it important that every part does its share? We're talking about growing in God. If every part does its share, it says right there at the end of that, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. These things connect together. To come and be a consumer is one thing. But don't expect growth, personal, spiritual, whatever, and growth in the body and say, why is the church not growing? These things aren't coming together if you're not doing your part. We all have a part. It's calling to check on one another. It's sending out cards. It's greeting one another. It's attending. It's leading. It's teaching. It's singing and playing. It's using our gifts together. Our band's going to come up here. And in case you haven't figured out, or in case I haven't told you, we're doing a song at the end of service from now on. And I remember the band's going to go ahead and come up now and prepare to play. But I remember in the scriptures it talks about the disciples. And when they came together and they had communion and they left and said they left going out singing. And I want to leave this place singing. And I want to leave opportunity for God to move in this place. But I want us to go out singing. And as we go on in chapter 5, it talks about us walking in love. And it tells us to walk, and we're talking about our faith journey. It says, when you do these things, walk in love. Guys, we've got to love one another. We can't have hatred towards our brothers and sisters. I didn't say our brothers and sisters in Christ. I said our brothers and sisters. That includes our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm talking about our neighbors across the street, our people in different countries, our people of different color, different faiths, different backgrounds, different nationalities. We cannot have hatred towards them. We can't have hatreds towards political sides. We can have disagreements and not have to agree with everything, but we cannot have hatred. It says walk in love. And it says walk in light. And it says walk in wisdom. Stand to our feet this morning. 2019 is going to be a year of transformation for prayer of faith. I want you to seize it today. I want you to seize it today. The last thing we want is for that harvest to be ready and sit there and rot in the field. Amen? Amen. Let's sing.
These thousand hills will never run in footprints of a mighty God. They bring me to my knees in praise. Amazing love, amazing grace. Was on a hill my Savior died. A broken heart, bleeding side, hill of the skull, Mount Calvary. The blood He shed for me. When heaven's hills at last I roam, forever settled in my home, I'll join the saints around your throne. Your kingdom rules ever on. La 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 la. 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 La 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 la. These thousand hills roll ever on and ripples up coming storm. The morning star precedes the dawn. These thousand hills roll ever on. La 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 la. 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 La 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 la.
As you go out this week, I want you to think about what we've talked about. I want you to think about your harvest, where it lies. Where are you in your faith journey? Is it time to prepare your field again for the next harvest? Is it time to plant seed, to water, or is it time to bring in the harvest? Have a blessed week. Watch your words in your mouth as you speak to one another. Grace and mercy be multiplied to you. Amen.